Podcast 2, Marina, Sierra, Priscilla. Hi, Mr. Miles.
So, in our last podcast, you asked us to pick one of the quotes and in the front cover and ask us how it related to the book. So, we picked the one that says, there are three kinds of lies. Lies, damned lies, and statistics. And I think that relates to the book because the whole book basically is telling you, like, different ways how people lie with statistics or try to trick people using statistics.
They manipulate them.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, and also they manipulate people to, like, buy their product in, like, an advertisement and stuff like that. That's a big topic we talked about in our last discussion. So the second thing you asked us to do was to put the second paragraph on page 18 into our own words. So.
All right, so the second paragraph reads, a river cannot, we are told, rise above its source. Well, it can seem to if there is a pumping station concealed somewhere about. It is equally true that the result of a sampling study is no better than the sample it is based on. By the time the data have been filtered through layers of statistical manipulation and reduced to decimal point average, the result begins to take an aura of conviction that a closer look at the sampling would deny. So that basically means that, like, the information we have is pretty much not good enough because the first sentence says, a river cannot, we are told, rise above its source. The source, there's not really a source. There's not really anything that we can have a complete answer because statistics is all about or almost. So even though we try to rise above, like, the data we receive or the results we receive or the total and stuff like that, there's no such thing as it being true or it being, like, giving us real knowledge of what we're supposed to know. Or, like, exact knowledge.
Yeah. So for the third thing you asked us to do, you told us to comment on the last paragraph of chapter 1.
So it reads, actually, as we have seen, it is not necessary that a poll be rigged, that is, that the results be deliberately twisted in order to create a false impression. The tendency of the sample to be biased in this consistent direction can rig it automatically. So basically what we took from that was that there's no reason to rig a poll because the information that they give off can be biased in a way that the votes are already rigged. So, like, for example, when you think of, like, votes and, like, polls and elections, you think of, like, the different commercials and how they're all biased towards the other person. So they'll be like, what's an example of one? Think of an example.
They be like, vote for Mitt Romney because Obama doesn't believe in this, that, and that, and he's gonna.
Yeah, they'll be like,
whatever.
If you care about your family.
That's what I mean too.
Then vote for Barack Obama. Then you're going to be like, well, I care about my family.
So let's vote for Obama.
Right.
And then they make Mitt Romney seem like he's this bad person. Well, they make both of the candidates. Like, each other make.
That's the point. That's what they're saying. So if you follow, like, a certain party or, like, you only watch certain if you don't get yourself aware with everything and you only listen to, like, one side of the story, you're going to automatically be biased by the information that they're telling it to you because they're never going to tell it to you in a way that makes the other person sound good, but they're not necessarily lying to you either. They're just saying it in a biased way. Therefore, they're quote-unquote rigging the votes without actually having to go in and tamper with what's going on.
Well, they do that in the media anyway because, like, social media, like, all the newscasts, they're, like, liberalists, so of course, they're not going to talk about the other candidates. If you think about it, an election is way more candidates than just Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. But yeah, they don't talk about all the other persons, like the conservatives.
That's why you need to. Well, no, you're right. But, like, also, there's some news stations and stuff that are, like, biased towards Democrats, like, biased towards Republicans, yeah, which is why you should always, if you're into that kind of stuff, you should always watch, like, don't just watch, stick to one network, like, switch back and forth.
Right, and you can always go online and research as well, because they only show you, like, the most powerful or the people that they think is the most powerful as leaders so far. They don't really talk about other people that can be better than the ones who look most powerful.
Like,
so
Fox 29, Channel 6, and all that, they only talk about, like, the Democrats and the Republicans, but they don't talk about the other parties. So when people vote and they're only thinking about the Democrats and Republicans, they don't think about the other parties that they can be. Like, you don't have to just be a Democrat or a Republican. And people don't know that because of the media. They just make it seem like those two are the only choices that you can choose.
Right.
So, the fourth thing you asked it to do was to select one sentence in chapter 4 that you believe best summarizes the main points of this chapter. As a group, we said that the best sentence that describes this chapter is, just to clear the air, let's note first of all that whatever an intelligence test measures is not quite the same thing as we usually mean by intelligence. It neglects such important things as leadership and creative imagination. That's two sentences, but we felt as though they best describe the whole chapter.
Although it's two sentences, they go hand in hand. You wouldn't be able to know what the first sentence was or what the second sentence was. We had to read them together.
Right, Mr. Miles.
And that basically explains that chapter 4 had to do with, like, not, like, the data not being exactly precise because of the fact that only the intelligence was being measured, not the power they have to be a leader or, like, their imagination, like, what they can create without intelligence or without full intelligence.
So basically,
I don't even think you can measure
effective.
Right.
Didn't we do something like that in Barrett class?
I was about to say, we did do something like that in Barrett
It was class. Like, it was like an article about like how you can't measure
how
intelligence.
Smart someone is.
Yeah. It could be based off their environment and stuff like that.
Yeah, their environment, who they hang around with, I guess because of their environment.
And the things that
their family
in.
Status, their family income. Because they were talking about like how rich people can buy their kids like SAT prep and stuff like that. That's how they can get into the best colleges
like
and get full rides.
Like how schools in the suburbs are considered to be like better, quote unquote, than schools in the city, which is kind of true.
Yeah.
All because like I guess they pay more taxes in the suburbs, and that's where their money.
Yeah, they also get more money funded to the school. Like we don't get as much money as like Strathaven does, or anything
yeah.
like
right.
that.
So
that's
so basically we don't have as public school students in Philadelphia do not have the same opportunities as a child that goes to school in the suburbs. Therefore, they might score higher on an IQ test, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're more intelligent than I am.
For example, if you compare Usley to Masterman is known for its intelligence and their good scores, and they're 100% of kids going to college after graduation, but I feel as though that in SLA, we do have a very high percentage ourselves, not as great as Masterman, but it's like in the high 90s. And even though we don't all exactly go to college right after graduation, I think we still leave with a sense of creativity and like the five core values that SLA presents, which would be like research and inquiry, collaboration,
reflection,
presentation. So it seems like that pretty much covers all, like, being able to create create something from your own imagination, and that'll lead to leadership. So that's something else that quote meant.
Basically, we're more prepared for the world than the kids at Masterman, in a long story short.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it would be smart.
I feel like we're more prepared for a lot of, like,
real life situations.
Yeah, like, real life scenarios. Like, we understand that school is or education is more than just a test and a book.
Yeah.
And it's more about how you can apply it to life, which is why, like, benchmarks, even though they're very annoying.
Are pain.
Right.
Not this one, though, Mr. Miles.
Afterwards, you can see, like, how you just took a whole, like, math concept or English concept and applied it to something that maybe didn't directly correlate with math, but we made it directly correlate with math or didn't directly correlate with history. Or, like, you have to actually know what you're talking about to do a project on something opposed to taking a test where you just memorize it and then just forget about it that same day.
Yeah, you're not really learning anything. Well, you are learning something because you're memorizing it, but still not going to be able to know how to apply it.
Yeah, I feel like you retain something better if you apply it than you would if you were to take a test on it.
Right. I feel like you remember it more in the long run. Like, 50 years from now, you're not going to remember those vocabulary words. The SAT words.
Only if you read a lot, you will, but that's on your own time. So,
you're not going to remember the brain, all the parts of the brain.
I might have to, because,
Well, if you're in the medical field, then yeah, I'm not. You are? No? Okay.
But I'm saying, like, say when we took, like, when we learned about the brain, we did, like, we did their paper on it, the worksheet.
Yeah.
But but it was like it wasn't as easy to remember it as it was when we were doing that clay model of the brain. Like when you start applying stuff or like putting things with pictures or stuff like that, it's easier to remember it. But we're a little off topic. Let's
stop back on track. All right, so
sorry, 10 minutes. Like we said earlier when we were talking about the Democrats and the Republicans and, like, how people view them on TV, it also connects to, like, Chapter 5 and Chapter 6 because they talked about how your graph can make your results look better. And in the images, they had, like, the short guy, and that meant the data was, like, or the line was short. And then they had the long-faced guy in the data. They just changed the numbers around and they made it look like the trend was better. So I think it's all about the perception, and that's how people, like, buy products. Because if they seen the other one with the short guy and the trend, it didn't look that well. That didn't make sense, but
I get it.
And then if they had the other one, like, see the picture? And they had the other guy, and the trend looks better.
That she is referring to starts on page, 63? And goes up to page 65, in case you want to follow along.
Right, Mr. Miles. Oh, no, it's 62 and 63 with the guy. But just all they did was in the picture, they just changed the decimal. Like, they made decimal points and they went up by two. And then on the other one, they went up, like, they went up a whole number two. Like, so it was like 18, 20, 22, 24. And then the other one, it was like 20.2.
So basically breaking the data up into smaller intervals to make it look like more of a significant change. But it really isn't a change at all. It's more like a straight line. But since they made it look like there's a change because they stretched it out into a smaller interval, that's basically that is doing better than what it is and making more of an impact than what it is, opposed to showing them that it really didn't make no change at all, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we did a homework assignment like that too. It was like, get a newspaper. Remember that homework assignment? It was like, get a newspaper.
I mean, I do this in math all the time. Like, when you want to show, like, when you're graphing something and you want to show, like, a significant change or, like, a rate or something like that, instead of, like, going up. Like, say if the numbers were going from, like, 1 to 4, instead of me going up by, like, just 1s, I would might go from, like, do it by 0.2, which does show, like, makes it look like a more drastic change than it would if I was to go up by 1s. So that's something I do a lot, but I didn't really think of, like, how you can trick people with that.
Like, yeah, it's like, say if you put this on TV, like, I doubt they're going to sit there and show the numbers, or I doubt people are going to sit there and look and be like, oh, my God, it went up 0.2 points.
Yeah. Right, they're just going to be like, whoa, it made such a dramatic drop or such a dramatic increase when really it's the same.
And then they might show the other company and be like, oh, look, it really didn't change at all. And put,
which technically isn't lying.
It's not lying, it's so, just not being completely honest. How to lie with statistics.
See, but they don't have a problem with that because this book is called How to Lie with Statistics, but technically nowhere in here are they lying. They're just tricking people. It's like a whole lot of,
it's like a mind
of wordplay. Like, a lot of people get away with things that they say, like phrasing things in a way that it comes out deceiving, but it's not necessarily a lie.
You gonna talk about that in your book review?
Maybe.
Good topic.
Because even though it's a little off topic, the other day I was watching Scandal, I don't know if you guys watch Scandal, and the guy was like, he didn't kill his wife. No, yeah, he didn't kill his wife because she was his best friend, I swear, but, like, he never said that that he loved her, because really he loved the man, and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he never said he loved his wife, but
okay. But he wouldn't kill her because of the fact that he has some type of affection towards her.
Right, like, the way he played out his words, like, they had to pick apart his wordplay. Like, he was just like, I would hurt my wife, she's my best friend, but he never said, like, he loved her, and, like, he was in love with her. So that's,
yeah, like, half lies and half truths. And
but it was all true, though. Like,
he didn't say that he did not love her.
That was a lie.
But he didn't say what was expected.
Like, say if, like, you turned in all your homework or something, but you turned in, like, all of them late. And you just, like, I turned in every single assignment, but you didn't say you turned in every single assignment in late. Like, stuff like that. Like, just knowing how to phrase things that they come out as deceiving, but
smooth.
Not, yeah, they come out as deceiving, but they don't, you can't get pinned for lying.
Right. That's how I'm gonna be in court, if I were to go to court.
Okay, well, so that leads on to, it was about, like, how germs get killed in a matter of seconds, but the report is never complete, because you never know, like, if let's say you have a cold, which was what the chapter was speaking of, and you don't know what germ, or if it is a germ, as it said on the book, is what's causing the cold. Like, you get a cold and that's it, and then you find remedies for it. But then they said that they measured an amount, that they killed an amount of germs in 11 seconds. And I feel as though it's impossible, or not impossible, but, like, not very likely to be able to measure how you can extend germs in a matter of seconds, because you don't know how many germs, or if they were germs at all. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't measure a germ. And, like, if you can't measure a germ, really, how can you measure the amount of seconds it takes to, like, eliminate them? So, like, that's why, like, that statistically, that's not... It goes well with statistics, because if statistics is a lie, then it does go well. But if it's not complete, then, like, what data are we going off from? Like, there's not a complete source and stuff like that. And then also, the other chapter was speaking of how non-smokers get better grades than smokers because of the amount of... What happens to their brains? Like, when you smoke, what happens to your brain? Like... Okay, so when you smoke, your brain,
kills brain cells.
But how do you exactly know how many cells you need to have in order to do well in college and stuff like that?
And then I feel like with things like that, like topics that are so vague, like people that smoke, people that don't smoke, but there's so many other things that go into that. There's no way to have like a 100% controlled sample. Like if they were to take, like say if they were to take high schoolers and they were just like 10th graders, like they just want to take a sample of 10th grade kids from SLA. I'm like, okay, let's get 5 kids that don't smoke and 5 kids that do smoke. And then, like, let's see who gets better grades. But then, like, I could, like, no, not me, I'm not 10th grade, but somebody in 10th grade, like, one of the 10th graders that do smoke could, like, be a great student, always been a great student. Yeah. And then you could have one that's just not, like, just don't care about life, don't care about school. And then you could have, but you could also have people that don't smoke that don't care about life and don't care about school.
Right, it depends on, like, what environment they are in.
Right, or you could have 5 kids that smoke, and you just so happen to pick the 5 smokers that don't care about life, and right. Then you could just so happen to pick the 5 non-smokers that just want to do well in school, and then come to the conclusion that, oh, people that smoke just don't care about life, but that's not true, mm-hmm. Or don't do well in school or whatever. I feel like a lot of things like that, a lot of tests or a lot of statistics like that, like people who, like, I don't know another one, but like, stuff like that, like people who smoke do better, or like, the one in history that we did, like people who went to kindergarten,
I mean, some of the people
does better. But like, I feel like you can't, like, there's so many other things that factor into that. Like, okay, you went to preschool, but where did you go to school after that? Yeah. Or like, who did you hang out with? Or what's your family situation like? Or what family problems do you have? What's your parents' income looking like? Like, there's so many different factors that play into that. That like, you could say like, based off of what your results are, like, if you're just basing off of a test or, like, grades, then, yeah, they do better, but why do they do better, stuff like that, or, like, what's making this effect? I feel like only way that statistics can be successful in that way, I feel like the only way that statistics can be successful in that way is if you're taking the things that, the results that you get, and you're, like, trying to make an improvement off of it. So, like, say if they're trying to say, like, people that smoke don't do as well as people that don't smoke, then, like, if you're going to make a general statement like that, I feel like you should only use it if you're trying to get people to stop smoking.
Right.
Not just to, like, I don't know, I feel like things like that should have a purpose. Like, something like people who go to preschool do better than kids who don't. Like, what are you trying to do? Like, get people to all go to preschool?
Like, you know the commercial on MTV where it'd be like, the girl, I only bring this up, it's like the old lady, she got that thing on her neck. But they made it seem like, based off the commercial, they made it seem like if you smoke, this will happen to you.
I mean,
there's a chance.
It depends on how much you smoke and all that stuff. I mean, like, smoking is just bad, straight up. Like, there's nothing positive that comes from smoking.
I hate that commercial, though.
So, they're just trying to show you, like,
what
could happen.
They're trying to scare you and stuff like
just
that.
Just like when they show, like, those above the influence commercials, or, like, they show you, like, what can, or... You know what I'm talking about, like, hypothetical things that could possibly happen to you, it doesn't mean it's going to.
Yeah.
You can be aware of, like, different consequences.
We were talking about that earlier when I was, like, 1 in 4 females get raped in college. Like, that, it's not saying that everybody's going to get raped, but...
If you got 4 friends that... And that's another thing, like, if that's the statistic, is it not? 1 in 4 girls get raped in college? But, like, who are these 1 in 4? How many, like where are your samples? What school is it? Where are these girls coming from?
I'm guessing
they're going
because...
when they get raped. What's considered rape? Like,
I'm just saying,
like, those statements are just so broad. Like, how can you just make, I don't know.
Because you don't know what rape could be, sexual harassment, could have been.
Or, like, where they are, or how many of them actually got raped. Like,
I'm just, party.
I watched a lot of TV, and I've seen a lot of things where, like, girls get caught having sex, and they just call it rape because they don't want to, like, look like anything else.
Or and like, also it depends, like, how many people, because once again, when somebody said, like, in a group of friends, like, you're in a group of friends that are 4 people, you're one of the 4 people, and obviously nobody from your friends group got raped. They don't only test you, they test, like, 100 people that go to college. And then
it's
so
that means that out of that 100 people, that means out of that 100 people, that 25 of them just needed to get raped. But I'm saying that, like, who are these 100
that's
people
what
that they're taking?
Like,
it all depends on your sample, like, who you're taking.
Like, if you was in, like, Wisconsin or something like that, they don't have barely a lot of people there.
Or what if you took, like...
You're telling me, out of 100
people,
25 people got raped?
Not
no.
throwing no shade, but what if you picked... What if out of your 100 people, or, like, your 1 in 4, what if you picked, like, 1, 2, 3 good people, and then a 4th girl that...
Okay.
That is known to not be doing very well.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Okay, we I get you. We just ain't want to say it.
And like, that's all. I'm sorry, I got a little off topic.
We went on a tangent right now, Mr. Miles. But I hope you liked our interview. Or well, not our interview, our podcast, because this is 21 minutes long. So.
Just know that this whole stats thing really got me thinking.
It got all of us thinking.
Yeah,
about
all
like,
these different like.
Probabilities and if it's true or not.
Yeah.
Everything's suspect to me.
Nothing.
I'm not gonna be able to watch TV the same, Mr. Miles.
Or like, I'm gonna start questioning. And like, I'm gonna start calling companies. Like, excuse me, who'd you sample? Like,
all right, you got it.
I'm like, what was your sample size? How many people did you test?
Where
did they come from?
Who, what, where, when, and why?
Or like, one out of every 10 Americans. AIDS or something like that. Like, who are these 10 Americans?
At the states that have the most AIDS people. Like,
I'm just saying, like, there's so many, like, what
different
if,
combinations.
What if they took, like, what if they came up with an AIDS campaign and said 1 out of 10 Americans, but they went to, like, a place, okay, so Philly is, like, really high with AIDS or whatever. Like, it's one of the most
populated
places with AIDS or something like that. But then also because Philadelphia has a lot more people, like, isn't it, like, there's more people in Philadelphia
like
than there is in the whole state or something like that? I think that's what it is. Like, there's more people in Philadelphia than there is in the whole state. So, like, in an election, if they win in Philadelphia, then they won
most
the
likely,
whole state.
They most likely won electoral vote.
For the whole state. But, yeah, like, what if they take it from somewhere like Philly, where there's a lot of people with AIDS, so they say, and then they come up with 1 out of every 10 that they check has AIDS, but in reality, it's because of where they did it. Like, if they would have went somewhere where not a lot of people had AIDS and nobody had AIDS, it was like 1 out of every 40 people had AIDS. Like, it really all depends on your sample, where people are coming from, all that kind of stuff. I don't know.
I don't even know why they do these surveys. Like,
I feel like they do it just to make you like more
aware,
or like make you feel like you need to. Like, basically, they're trying to tell you 1 out of every 10, and you're like, dang, I know 10 people. And what if I'm that one? And so basically, you like, try
tested.
To make you get tested, protect yourself, stuff like that. But I feel like it can be very misleading, but it gets their point across, which is, I guess, the ultimate goal.
Right.
That's you know what?
So
that's
with that being
made
said,
me upset.
So with that being said, I think that as a group, we believe that statistics is not a lie, but at the same time, it's not a complete truth. So
I feel as though that if you're going to use statistics to be deceitful, that you need to use it for a purpose, like an overarching purpose. Like, if you're trying to say, like, there's no point of saying people who go to preschool do better than people who don't. But there's a purpose of saying, like, 1 out of every 10 people in America has AIDS.
Now
you're
going to
want to get tested.
Yeah.
All right.
But don't nobody care about preschool. I didn't go to preschool, and...
Sorry,
I'm
going
to cut that off. Right. Okay.
All right. Bye, Marcella.
Bye.
Have fun.